This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I know I'm great.
Herbert on a 3rd and 10. Shotgun snap. Throws intercepted. From bad to worse. Game over.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
That last play with Quentin at the end on the interception, was there miscommunication?
Yep, I threw it and I picked it off. You made a good play on it.
Today's guests, host of the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick, actor Josh Gad, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Thankfully, back here safe and sound from my fortnight abroad in the great country of the United Kingdom. And it was awesome to be there in London. Greatly appreciative of Andrew Siciliano and Steve Weich and everybody here holding down the fort. Appreciate everybody sticking with this program with me. Across the pond, as I'm mandated to say, as an American sports broadcaster, thrilled to be back here on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, free on Amazon Fire TV, free on the Roku app, because the Roku channel is free on at therokuchannel.com. We say hello to our burgeoning now 60-plus radio affiliates coast-to-coast terrestrial radio network. We appreciate everybody taking us in. Also, hello to anybody listening on Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Rich, I'm great. What's up, man?
What's up there?
Hey,
DJ
Rich,
Mikey
good morning.
D's and D's Nuts.
Good
what's going on, man?
Oh, I'm having a blast.
You are?
I missed you, Rich.
Oh, did you really?
I loved Andrew.
Oh,
I appreciate that. I don't take that as an insult to Andrew, but I thank you.
No,
thank you. How are you over there, TJ Jefferson? Good to see you, man.
Hey, it's good to see you, man. It's been a minute, even though I feel like I've seen you every day since you've been gone.
Yeah, I zoomed in.
Yeah.
Our Zoom technology's working now. It's called an upgrade for our viewing audience.
Welcome back, man.
Terrific. Thank you, and good to see everybody out there. For those who are listening, TJ Jefferson was indeed holding up, and still is, his grease board, his whiteboard that says, how about them Cowboys.
Boo.
No, it's okay.
How about them Cowboys?
That's the drop.
I gotta
that we
do
play.
It for him. I gotta do it.
Well,
Mikey,
I mean, you can play the other one while I was out. I wasn't in last Monday. The one that normally you play when
I
the Cowboys step on themselves,
well,
as they did in San Francisco, and now Southern California, different result. Mm. And I'll tell you this: this is the Dak Prescott we need to see. That Dak Prescott we saw last night, was he perfect? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
He was not. But I must say, because when Michael Irvin appeared on What the Football with Susie and Amy last week and was talking about, is he going to be the Patrick Mahomes or anything like that? The answer is no. And I said the interpretation of that is that the Dak that we saw first coming into the league, two-way threat Dak, was not going to be walking through that door anymore.
Yeah.
The two-way threat Dak with his arm and buying time out of the pocket with his legs and then sometimes taking off with his legs and sometimes being the red zone threat with his legs, his own self. That guy was not walking through that door. And who walked through the SoFi Stadium door last night? That guy. Mm. That guy walked through that door. And credit to, yes, I'll say it, to Mike McCarthy, even though at one point Troy Aikman couldn't find the words to say a complimentary word about the offense and the play calling, to the point where Joe Buck accused him of tapping out in the middle of his commentary.
Troy was just like,
because he did. He's just like, I don't know. Why? You know, you got a 12-yard curl route if you just want to take the first down. Instead, you make it to, I don't know. Like, sounded like one of those Cowboy fans in the Metroplex or sitting at home despite having his team play in his hometown currently of Los Angeles like TJ Jefferson.
Help me, I'm poor.
Okay. You know what? I'll say this. That Dak Prescott keeps showing up. I like the Cowboys' chances to go deep into January. Question is, because they've got the defensive horses to call game when they want it, like a sack from Micah Parsons and a pick from Stephon Gilmore.
As Joe was saying, or Troy was like, they need a sack. Here comes
there
Micah.
It is. And like,
he literally was like, we haven't said Micah Parsons' name
and then
all
boom.
Day.
And then right up the gut,
boom.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Like, wow.
You know, obviously Van Der Esch is out right now, but they've got the horses. They can pull it off.
And the Dak, again, that I said wasn't maybe going to be walking through that door, walks through that door. I looked it up because I'm a professional and I'm also jet lagged.
Couldn't sleep, huh?
I looked it up. When Dak first came into this league, his first year in 2016, when Romo's back was out and he took things over and basically sent Romo to be Nance's partner, four times in 2016, four times in 2017, five times in 2018, he ran one in and threw for at least one. Then in 2019, he had two, and then we all know what happened after that, got hurt. 2020, he got hurt again. Just had one of those games. Only one of those games in 21. Only one of those games in 22. This was his first such game in 23. They're too few and far between. This is the guy who can put the team on his back, his shoulder, and his legs. If he can do it. And last night he did it. It's the first time he's done it on the road since 2018. That's the last time he did it on the road, week 10 of 2018 at Philadelphia. Every other time was in front of the home fans at the Jones Mahal. Last night was his first rushing touchdown, passing touchdown performance on the road, and he does it against the Chargers team coming off a bye, fully rested, and he does it on the road after they got smoke showed on the road in San Francisco, leaving them on the side of the road in the NFC, only to sit at home and watch San Francisco lose in Cleveland and Philadelphia lose in New York and then go out there last night against a team coming off of a bye with a red-hot quarterback in Justin Herbert despite a broken middle finger on his non-throwing hand and Austin Eckler coming back and Keenan Allen being one of the best receivers in the game today. And they having Khalil Mack coming off of a 6-sack game, coming up with a sack early on in this game, and Joey Bosa and Derwin James. And this is the team the Cowboys beat last night. Must-win game? You betcha. This was Dak after the contest last night saying exactly that in a slightly profane, unlike Dak manner.
You said it was a big win. Was this a must-win, though?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a must win.
Why? I mean, it's early.
Early in the season, but 3-3, 4-2 or 3-3, that was it's a huge difference. It just is. I mean, yeah, like I get exactly what you're saying. It's early in the season. I've been in the 3-5 season that we turned it around and went on a win streak and won the division. So I get what you're saying, but 4-2, second road win of the year against a great team, against a great offense, good defense, great defense. Going into the bye week, yeah, I mean, we talked about after last week not allowing this thing to landslide. And obviously, I think a win like this allows you to really close that book. Obviously, we closed that book throughout this week, preparing for this game, moving on, not just talking about it, but being about it, practicing that right way, preparing the right way to do that. But when you get this win like we did, you definitely can move on. Now we'll move forward from this one. Go watch it, get better. Critique it hard, see how we can get better from this game, even on a win. And then, as I said, enjoy the bye week. Get healthy, enjoy the bye week, and then stack after that.
Stack meaning stack wins. That's what he means. Stack wins is what he means. And with this win, they go on the bye week at 4-2. And during the bye week, they'll sit down on a Sunday night, turn on NBC, and watch Philadelphia host Miami. Look out. And so if Philadelphia loses that one, Dallas comes off their bye with a home game against the Rams while Philadelphia has a visit to Washington. And then Dallas visits Philadelphia. What a huge setup. That's all set up because they won last night. They have a path to having a first place perch in this division after 9 weeks with a game at home against New York. And then at Carolina after that, the Cowboys are set to make a nice run if they can stack, to use the phrase. CeeDee Lamb, they threw to him like he's the number one receiver. How about them apples? Brandon Cooks exists. How about Dak with the big play of the night, seemingly sacked, runs to his right, throws back over the middle to his left. Tony Pollard makes a play 60 yards later. This is the Dak I'm talking about. Fourth and short. Pull it. Run it in yourself. Dallas had to have it. They got it. Good for them. Now then, let's talk about the Chargers a little bit. The Los Angeles Chargers, there are bullet points, hallmarks, if you will, fingerprints, DNA. If you dust after a Chargers game, you will find the following.
CSI.
Superbly talented players making superbly talented plays. You'll see it every single time. From their quarterback, how good is Keenan Allen? Holy smokes. I know he always has been. I think he's taken a step up, it seems. Even with Mike Williams out, and you're thinking everyone's going to have to focus on him. He's like Jamar Chase, always effing open.
Great route runner.
Yeah, Austin Eckler, he is talented. Derwin James, he is talented. Khalil Mack, he is talented. Rashawn Slater, he is talented. There's talent all over the place showing their talent throughout the game. You'll also see mind-boggling mistakes. Justin Herbert missing a wide open. Keenan Allen a couple of times. Derwin James, 15-yard penalties that just seem to be avoidable. You see illegal shifts and holding. Those things will happen. You can get a little twitchy when Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence are heading your way. Understandable. You'll see that. Invariably, you will also see the football gods love putting fourth and short situations in the hands of Brandon Staley. Every single game. Every game, there will be a fourth and short decision for Brandon Staley.
Yep.
Every game.
Multiple.
And last night, we saw one for a turnover on downs, and another one, he goes and gets a touchdown. A yin and a yang. Always. It's amazing. I don't know what the stats are, but how many fourth and ones, fourth and shorts, is this guy going to have? He's got to lead the league in it. And then he goes for it on the 27 of his own 27. He'll go for it on your 27. Last night, he actually kicked a field goal. Dicker the kicker must have been like, me? Hey, you want what? Me? Hey, hold on a minute. Let me dust off my helmet here. You'll invariably see that. And then you'll invariably see a post-game where it's like, how the hell did they lose that one? Honestly, they are the absolute kings of how the hell did they lose that one? Now, you know what also doesn't help, too? Playing home games where you got to go silent snap count. That young lady who was going totally berserk over touchdowns and touchdowns that they kept zooming in on last night on the Monday Night Football broadcast, she loves her Chargers. If they only had about 50,000 more of them, and I'm sure there's San Diego fans listening to us right now on the Mightier 1090, where we're on every single day, the first Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate.
The Mighty.
Probably sitting there like going, we used to be here. You didn't see many silent snap counts in the old Jack Murphy.
Right.
Not a lot of secondary ticket holders paying fealty to Qualcomm. To use the phrase. By the way, Dan Patrick coming up shortly.
I was just
going to
say.
I just went a little Matt Harvey on you.
Matt Harvey reference.
So it doesn't help. Doesn't help. It can't help that you're going silent snap at home. And it sounded so damn loud on my television set last night when the Cowboys scored first downs, sacks, all of them. Couldn't tell. Like, if you were just listening to the game, not seeing it, could you tell who was home and not? Can't help the Chargers. But, hey, they're the ones that made this move. They're the ones. So, you know, put it all together. And it's another one of those, how the hell did we lose this one? And they're now 2-3. The Chiefs are cackling right now, laughing. You know, Travis Kelce's watching the Phillies and going to do SNL again. And I didn't even mention his personal life.
Distraction.
Okay, you know what I mean? Distracting. So what? The Raiders are starting Aiden O'Connell this week, it looks like.
Maybe, I don't know. Hoyer played on
Sunday.
The
Chiefs are laughing their asses off right now because they know the team that's most talented and most equipped to come and knock on their door and have opportunity knock for them. Just lost another one of those. How the hell did we lose games against the Dallas Cowboys at home? Justin Herbert's got a 500 record at quarterback. How does that happen? Kellen Moore, this is supposed to be the night where you're dialing it up. And he did. And Herbert, bless him, missed Keenan Allen a couple times. Once again, weird losing football for the Los Angeles Chargers. Still a ton of time left. A ton of time left. And two games against the aforementioned Chiefs. So it's not over by any stretch. And that looks like a playoff team based on their roster and how fast they're all running around and looking. But I'm sitting back saying, how the hell did they lose that game last night?
Well, the Chargers.
Well, they made a couple of, I know you could say that, you know, but you're making a couple mistakes here, a couple mistakes there, penalties all over the lot.
All over the place.
I mean, Lan Clark, it was the Lan Clark show last night on ESPN. And by the way, can John Parry disagree with one officiating call? Just for me, once. I liked the guy. I loved him as an official. Every time, he never disagrees. As well, he was a half inch inside that neutral zone. So that's technically an infraction. Oh, yep. He took more than two steps before hitting the quarterback after the ball left. He gets flagged for playing football.
Rich, we're going to talk about this more later.
Overreaction Monday? Okay. At any rate, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. The delightful Josh Gad will be joining us on the program. A diehard Miami sports fan. He must be out of his gourd about watching the Miami Dolphins right now.
Right.
Get ready for another Miami Heat season as he is on Broadway right now with Andrew Rannells again. They were the duo that made Book of Mormon a brilliant must-see piece of legit. It's called theater. Gutenberg the Musical. Couple of exclamation points in that title.
Like Steve?
No. Oh. It's, believe it's the printing press Gutenberg. Oh. But I will ask him.
That's my first thought.
It's the printing press Gutenberg.
Oh, okay.
And it's a fun concept for a show. Yeah. And he's up on the program, middle of hour two. Overreaction Monday on Tuesday. Overreaction Monday, we did the pod. It was the first thing I did getting off the plane. Yeah, well, buddy. It's not true. I went through passport control. So, at any rate, that's up for you to take in. Overreaction Monday, the podcast. We're going to do Overreaction Monday, the segment. Later on in this program, I've got my top five performances. But my buddy DP is joining us next from his set of the Dan Patrick Show in Connecticut. Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football is his new book that is out. Fun stuff. And I'm not just saying that because he had me write a blurb for it. But he did. Dan Patrick is next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Boom.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
All right, back here on our Roku channel broadcast. Less than 2 minutes till our radio audience returns. That's when we'll bring in Dan Patrick of the Dan Patrick Show.
Let's do it.
And an author.
Author.
Can you see it? Because I got to tilt it forward to make sure you can see it. Because if I go like this, it's very shiny.
Yeah,
the other way. The other way.
Go back up.
Right there.
Hold on.
Can't move, Rich.
Very fancy.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know why would Dan do this? Does this come out of his advance?
That's perfect right there, Rich. How you got it?
I mean, look at that. It's kind of his advance. It's very awkward to hold it like this.
Well, we could read it.
All right.
Good job.
Rich.
I like holding up books.
Man.
You're a good book holder, Rich.
Thanks, Mike.
Wow. See? I missed you.
Okay, boss.
So supportive.
Yeah.
Okay, boss.
You're a good bookholder.
Yes, boss.
Okay, boss.
Oh, you guys.
Wow.
It's all good. All right, so DP's about to join us. We got Overreaction Monday later on, right? I'm back.
On a Tuesday.
You are
back.
On a Tuesday. How's it feel to be home?
Great. Like I never left.
Yeah?
Except for the fact I have no idea what time it is. Like, literally, it's dinner time in my head right now.
Trying to see what time it is.
Oh, yeah, right.
It is.
5:22 p.m., yeah.
Yeah. You're ready? Yep.
Oh, I know, because I was sitting in my hotel room, you know, doing hits for the show because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional.
Rich, you didn't take that piece of art with you? I wanted that thing for my car.
Yeah, no.
I was really excited.
I should have taken
it
from the wall because it's only in 90,000 other rooms.
They wouldn't have missed it.
They would not have missed it.
They asked you to grab it.
You think they could just switch it up?
They would not have missed
it. So somebody just went to some art show for that hotel. It's just like, do you have 300 of those?
I need a knockoff version of this.
I need 300 of those. We're going to put it in every room.
In bulk. Boom.
On the same wall in every room.
Yeah.
Change it up a little.
So, no, I didn't take that piece of art.
I was excited. I wanted it for the Condo Redondo. I was waiting.
No, it's not that.
Condo Redondo.
Okay, very good. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Love this man. I'm not just saying because he's listening to my introduction of him or for the fact that he had me write a blurb for his book. And I was referred to in the back of this book as a sports broadcasting legend, I greatly appreciate that terminology.
Did you write that part too?
I did not. I did not. The Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football, where all your books can be acquired. The great Dan Patrick here. How are you, DP? How are you?
I'm great, legend. I'm great.
I am legend. I am legend. Fun book, DP. This is a fun book. Congrats on it. How did this come about, sir? Bring on.
Joel Cohen writes for The Simpsons.
Okay.
And he called me up and he said, would you be interested in being on a Simpsons episode?
Yeah.
And I said, of course. I said, as long as I'm not playing myself, absolutely. He said, yeah, you'll be a play-by-play guy. Mm. Homer is in a rock skipping contest and you'll be the play-by-play voice.
Yeah.
And I said, you got me. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, I got a couple of questions. You know, we don't get to vent like you get to every day, but me and my friends have a couple of questions. So he started running down all these things that he had problems with football. And then we played a game of verbal tennis. Like he would send me something and then I'd send it back. And then we just started talking. And then he goes, you know, I wrote down this stuff while we're talking. Would you want to write a book? And I go, yeah. I mean, I didn't think we were going to write a book, but he said, do you want to write a book? And I go, yeah. Like, okay. More importantly, let me know when you want me to do the Simpsons episode.
That's right.
So he gets back to me.
More importantly. Right.
Yes. And he goes, hey, I got somebody interested in the book. And I go, what book? And he goes, no, the book we're talking about. And he goes, I got Andy Richter, some guys from Saturday Night Live. Jeez. And like everybody has, they want to, I said, so basically you guys can write a book for me. And he goes, well, no, you have to have some input.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So we just kind of went over topics and nothing was off limits, because most of these books, when you think of the NFL, the books are serious. They're about gladiators. They're about men. They're about moments.
Yes.
All of these things. And we were like, we're not about any of that stuff. You know, we want to talk about Kenny Stabler with bacon rolled cigarettes that he used to smoke. Like anything that's silly, have fun. Butt fumble. We made a sermon out of the Immaculate Reception. We just had fun with it. And hopefully everybody else will go into it with a sense of humor.
And in that vein, here's a question I got for you. I don't think I've ever asked this of you, because, you know, being a, well, let me get this back here, a sports broadcasting legend of my own right. I noticed when you were handing out the Lombardi Trophy, those multiple Super Bowls for the NBC and the Peacock Network, there would be like a tug of war with the microphone with an owner. It's just one. Who was the one with the most kung fu like grip that you had a tug of war with the most for a microphone on that podium, Dan?
The co-owner of the Giants, Steve Tisch.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, you know, you never give up the microphone.
Ever.
Ever. So here I am on the podium. There's 100 million people watching this. And he grabs the microphone And so he thinks that I'm going to just give it to him, and then he's going to, you know, go in, he's going to ad lib, he's going to vent, he's going to do whatever he's going to do. I'm pulling it back. So you see his hand pulling the microphone, and it's only moving about, you know, 4 or 5 inches, like, to his side, and then I'm bringing it back, and he's not giving it up. I mean, he is going to get that microphone. And I have my producer in my ear who's saying, do not give up that bleeping microphone. I got 100 million people watching, and this is what's going on. I got Steve Tisch grabbing the microphone, and I am pulling as hard as I can to make sure that he doesn't get the microphone. Finally, he gives up.
Yeah.
He releases, and then I hold the microphone there. Jeffrey Lurie of the Eagles.
Okay.
He goes, hey, when we get done, I got one more thing I want to say. So I it's usually two questions. And then all of a sudden, he surprised me and he grabbed the microphone.
Oh.
He got it.
A brotherly shove.
He got a brotherly shove. So, I mean, I've had awkward moments on the podium where Eli won the MVP. And then he had a Toyota sponsorship or Nissan. And it was a black-on-black Corvette. And he had won this MVP. They give you a card. So I got a card and I'm reading it. I look down, I go, and such and such blank, Eli Manning, you are the Super Bowl MVP. And as a result, you get this black on black Chevy Corvette, blah, 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 blah. I finish. I got the keys. And I look up and Eli is off the podium. Wow. And so I'm holding the keys to the Corvette.
And?
He walked off, and I yell while I'm on the podium. I turn around. I'm like, Eli! He comes back up, and I basically said, here's your damn keys. And then I find out later that he didn't want to be associated with Chevrolet.
He bolted. Ghosted.
Yes. And I came this close to saying to Tom Brady after Malcolm Butler had the interception, shouldn't you give Malcolm the trophy? I almost said that. I almost guilted Brady into giving Malcolm the truck. And I thought, that's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is just to say hello to the commissioner, couple interviews, send everybody on their merry way, and good night, everybody. Back up to you, Bob Costas. And I almost said, because I really believe that. It's like Tom got the MVP, all right, great. Malcolm should get the truck. Tom.
Give him the truck. Brockman just got in my ear. Did he do that? Did he actually give him the truck?
Yeah, he ended up later.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I know.
Great minds, Dan.
I know.
And plus, now I'm mandated to say, with Eli ghosting you like that, now you know how most of us feel like going out with you for a night of drinks, Dan, at the end of the night.
Wow.
Do you mind me with you?
Yeah, I always have exit strategy. I am a professional.
You are.
I do it to my family, though, Rich, to be honest.
Yes. So I shouldn't take it,
No. We'll have a party.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my wife knows that I'll just disappear.
Sue? Are you serious?
Yes,
you really?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And my kids know it too. They'll be, where's dad? Is dad? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Weddings? Even at your own kid's wedding?
No. Okay. No. Nothing
all
like
right.
that.
All right.
No.
Okay.
I know my place. Yeah. Yes. We had a Christmas party.
Yeah.
And I remember it was like 11:30 and it had been raging the whole time. And I'm just tired. And the bartender's gone. And then I'm thinking, all right, it's time for me to go to bed. The Stones are playing. I mean, the music was playing, not the Stones themselves.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's blaring. It's blasting down in my basement. And I get ready to sneak upstairs. And I got 50 guys in the basement. And my wife goes, where are you going? And I go, to bed? She goes, no, you're not. So I tried to sneak out of the basement and tried to stay down there for like an hour and a half later until everybody left.
Dan Patrick here on the Rich Eisen Show, the new book. Everyone should get it. The Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football. Dan Patrick and Joel H. Cohen, a Simpsons writer. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
What'd you make of the Dallas win last night, Dan? Ask you a serious football question.
Whoa.
What do you make of it?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't mean to go straight to the actual.
I think the bigger story, it's not going to be the bigger story, but I think it should be, is the Chargers. Because the Cowboys played a good enough game to win. Mm-hmm. The Chargers played a good enough game that they could have won, but they didn't. And you got plays from Dallas and you didn't get plays from the Chargers. And you got this fourth quarter problem with that coach and that quarterback. And they're all in on Justin Herbert because they signed him up. But I mean, you start to look at the Chargers, they got a lot of talent, but they do not have a bottom line that's respected. And what happened in the playoffs last year, Dallas rebounding the way they did and winning a game like that is, you know, important. I don't know if it's impressive, but it's important. But I look at the Chargers, you know, where are they going? They got Kansas City coming up next weekend. So that was my takeaway from it, that this is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL the first three quarters and one of the worst quarterbacks in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Yeah. It's just their hallmarks. The Chargers are incredibly talented players. And then invariably there's going to be a fourth and short placed in front of Brandon Staley for either a weird decision that backfires or one where you think all the way up until the snap that this is going to be a weird decision that backfires. And then they lose like last night. And you're wondering, I guess, if they're going to be able to mount anything. Whose conference is it, do you think, in the AFC, Dan? Is it Miami's, Buffalo's, anybody in the AFC North, or is it still the Chiefs' world? What do you got for me on that front?
Still feels like it's the Chiefs. Yeah. It just, as long as you got Mahomes and Kelce and Andy Reid, it feels like they can make things work. And probably going to have to go to their place too, which gives them a decided advantage.
Right.
You know, back to Justin Herbert, I said this on my show today. Mm-hmm. Imagine if he played for the Giants or played for the Cowboys and the amount of scrutiny that you face. Like, he is fortunate to be in L.A. where, you know, Dodgers, Lakers, Rams, USC, you know, maybe the Clippers, and then you have the Chargers. So it's not there's not a spotlight on him. And we look at Danny Dimes trying to survive. Dak Prescott, no matter what he does, he's going to be scrutinized. But I think look, I love him. He's been great, known him since his Oregon days. But, you know, there's a real concern here. And then you have guys like Mahomes wins these kind of games. That's the difference. Like, we're still waiting for Josh Allen to win this kind of game, a big, big, big game. You know, Jalen Hurts, what he did in the Super Bowl. So you start to – Joe Burrow goes to the Super Bowl. You're starting to see these quarterbacks that they win these games. And the Chargers, they have a lot of three-point games or less, and they don't have a winning record in that.
And what will make it worse, Dan, is if Tua goes, you know, the guy who he's supposed to have been this entire time of his career, the proper choice to draft was Herbert, not Tua. And now look at what Tua's doing right now. McDaniel – dialing it up, it's a totally topsy-turvy narrative right now compared to
everything else. Yeah, you start to look at these coaches, and coaches get fired because they don't find their quarterback. You have to have your quarterback. Chargers have their quarterback, but that coach may get fired. You know, Sean Payton, does he have his quarterback? We don't know. Sean McVay found his quarterback with Matthew Stafford. Although Jared Goff deserves to be at least mentioned with the MVP candidates.
Agreed. For sure.
But he's not, because I think we still look at, I don't know what we know to think of the Lions. Like, are they still like a fun story and cute? And I mean, they're formidable. They beat teams by 14 points or more. They dominate you. And I looked at Jared Goff's numbers the last 16 games going back to last year. 13-3, completing 67% of his passes, 28 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. The only quarterback this year who is in the top 5 in completion percentage, touchdown, interception ratio, yards, and the only other person who's been better is Tua. So if Brock Purdy's in there, then I think that Jared Goff should be in there as well.
A million percent. The reason why we don't talk about him is a handful of reasons. One, he got traded. Right. So the Rams decided you're not the guy here anymore. Yeah. So that's a certain narrative. Number two is he's not out there selling State Farm or anything like that. You know, number three is we in the media, I think, are more focused on the coach, who, by the way, has done everything that he said he wanted to do at Detroit with the exception of the actual cannibalism, you know, so I mean, you put it all together, they are doing what they wanted, set out to do. And the most surprising aspect about it is Goff playing like he's playing. I thought everybody would, you know, in Detroit, for them to reach that point, they would have had to have drafted somebody and grown with them. But Goff appears to be the guy. The latest example of don't go so crazy if your drafted quarterback takes 6-7 years to develop in this league. DP,
well,
you know?
I've been saying with Anthony Richardson, I never would have started him. I said at the beginning of the year, you got Gardner Minshew, high-end backup quarterback. Let him understand the complexities of the game. Because he's still trying to play the way he did at Florida. Mm. And he wasn't a consistent quarterback. He had highlight moments, and he got injured every game. And now he's probably gone for the season. So, you know, it's like Bryce Young. I like him, but, you know, you throw these guys in there, and sometimes, you know, I look at David Carr, who's as talented as I've seen, but he played for a terrible Texans team. He got sacked more than any other quarterback to start his career. And I don't think he ever got confidence back. And that's the one thing at that position. You got to have confidence. And when that goes, your quarterback goes. And, you know, some of these kids who – C.J. Stroud is proving me wrong, though, the way he's played. But, you know, some of these guys that are out there and don't have a lot of weapons, you know, you're kind of risking their future. And a lot of these guys are going to get – they'll have this one contract, and then they might be a backup quarterback. You know, Mitchell Trubisky, Ryan Tannehill, those guys who get recycled there. And a lot of it's because you don't have weapons around them.
What's your favorite story from the book that's, I guess, can give people an idea of what it's all about, DP? What do you got for me?
We had somebody who wanted to contribute as to how he became a Vikings fan, mm-hmm. and it's sad. But it's really funny.
Okay.
And, yeah.
All right.
And he said to prepare for being a Vikings fan, he used to sleep naked with the windows open just so he knew he was channeling Bud Grant. Like that. Like, wow. If you're going to be a Vikings fan, you sleep naked with the windows open and just absorb that cold. And that's what we love.
I wouldn't have associated sleeping naked in the cold with Bud Grant, but so I guess that's an interesting.
Yeah, but Bud Grant
twist.
Never had heaters on the sidelines, you know, when they were playing. These poor guys are playing outside in Minnesota, and you couldn't have a heater on the sidelines. Mm. Bud Grant. But you're a legend, so.
I appreciate that. Oh, yeah. Last one for you. Do you ever dream you're back on SportsCenter? Because I do. Do you ever get those dreams that you're back?
I dream that I am going to the set.
Me too.
And
I'm late. I'm late. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You do have that.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I dream that I'm not prepared and I'm getting to the set. Another one I have is I'm on campus and I can't find the classroom. And which actually happened a lot, but I didn't want to find the classroom.
Right.
But I just remember I can't find the classroom. Yeah. Something about this job. Where you're down to like seconds, minutes, mm-hmm. like you have to account for everything and you have to be on time and, you know, going to SportsCenter set, you know, starts at 11 Eastern. You better be on time.
Yeah.
And I just remember getting there. And then one other thing that comes up, and I know you're up against a break.
No, go ahead. Take it. I got it. Don't worry.
I did a show on a Sunday night and Stuart Scott was with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we start, so SportsCenter Tease starts,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, Stewart puts some drops in his eye.
Right.
Well, he loses his contact.
Oh, my gosh.
He gets up, walks off the set. SportsCenter comes up. I'm on camera by myself.
Yeah.
Stewart's not even there. I had to do Stewart's intros and Stewart's highlights. I had to do the entire first 15 minutes. I would be me, and then I would say, like, can I get a witness from the congregation? Booyah! As cool as the other side of the pillow.
Oh, my. Now, I did 7 years, as you know, basically with him. That never happened with me, ever. Not once.
And he came back during the commercial break.
Yeah.
And didn't say a word. He didn't say a word.
Not like, hey, man, I got,
hey,
you
I'm
know,
sorry.
What, this
I,
thing
hey,
happened.
I hung you out
what
to
had
try.
Happened was.
Right? Yes. He never said anything. Not, hey, hey, thanks for, you know, picking me up. Nothing.
Oh,
so
man.
If you watch SportsCenter, you're like, and Jason Jackson, who worked with us at SportsCenter, he goes, yeah, I'm tuning in to Sunday Night SportsCenter, and I'm thinking, wait, well, Dan is doing solo, and then Stewart comes back the second, you know, segment, and they go, wait, did they not let Stewart do the first, like, what's he doing to a brother here? He's not letting him do the first segment. And I'm going, he lost his contact lens. Never said anything. And then we just proceeded to do the rest of SportsCenter. He had lost his contact lens.
I saw you did a you had an interview recently where you talked about Stewart's competitive spirit. And I saw that. And I thought to me, I don't know if you ever told this to you, when KO left and that seat next to you, it was kind of like a Game of Thrones type moment for the rest of us to try and get that seat sitting next to you back in the day. And Stewart knew that I was interested in it. He took me aside. He goes, why are you doing that? He goes, the two of us are better than the two of them or anything you could do with him. And he meant that, like, deep down in his bones. He thought, like, we should compete against, not try to join with, is what he thought. I thought about that when I saw what you said.
Yeah, you know, we didn't have a good relationship, but we had respect for one another. And I think, you know, there was a lot of jealousy. There was competitiveness and rivalry.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't view it that way.
I'm sure you didn't.
but he did. And, you know, that was just him. Stewart was a very competitive guy, and whatever made him better. And you know, later in his life, you know, we kind of came to an understanding with each other. And I had total respect for him getting to the ESPYs and that speech that he gave. And, you know, it was wonderful. But, you know, it was a tough environment at SportsCenter because it was extremely competitive. And, you know, there wasn't camaraderie as much as people would think that there was camaraderie. And so I, you know, Stewart and I certainly had that. Even when we played football against each other, and he would tape his who tapes their shoes and their ankles when
He's
they're playing
batted.
Flag football?
Yes. Him.
And I go, dude, what is going on here? and we played basketball, and he picked me up full court. And, you know, it was like slapping the floor. He was going to guard me full court.
Yeah.
And I was having nothing of it because I was like, hey, I'll come out. I just want to play. I just want to sweat. I don't want somebody picking me up full court. And I'll be damned. First time I got the ball, Stewart's there full court.
But
he did it the entire time. The entire game, he's picking me up full court.
Oh,
he's bodying me, everything. It got to the point where I was dribbling the ball, and I said, where do you want me to bleep and score on you? I said it right to his face. I was so angry. I was so angry. Because I'm like, God, I don't want to be competitive because I'm such a jerk. And I was dribbling, and I'm talking to him. I said, where do you want me to and he didn't say a word, which was wise, because I was going to light his ass up. But, and you know who called me? Jason Jackson said he heard that story, and he goes, "I 100% true what you said." I go, "I wasn't lying." He goes, "Oh no, I'm just, if anybody ever says that didn't happen, that's 100% true what you said about you and Stewart." And I went, "Yeah,
man,
booyah." Hey, great
DP,
to talk to you.
Same here, man. Thank you again.
Listening to you in London.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that. You'll hear me in Germany. But in the meantime, everybody should get your book, The Occasionally Accurate Annals of Football. Take care of yourself, DP. Oh, you got to go? Is that what's going on? You got to head out? Okay.
Yeah. I thought that I was off camera. I was checking my phone.
It's okay. Sorry, I've never heard a guy start doing Wordle on me at the end of an interview, but it's okay. You're the best, DP. You take care.
Yeah, I just want to make sure and see if anybody said they like my appearance or anything.
Everyone loves it.
Yeah.
At DP Show.
All right, thank you, buddy.
All right, DP.
All right, thank you, guys.
The great Dan Patrick, everybody.
Hey, Dan.
Always great. Oh, my God. My chest is hurting. I'm laughing so hard. We'll take a break. We'll recount all that stuff when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Overreaction Monday still to come. When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. There's not a better person and a guy who just, who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and, thought he was going to be the starting receiver. And then Plaxico, comes back and plays that game. And then, sure enough, in the game, David Tyree has a touchdown catch and then makes the catch, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Poppa giving the call saying, he's got a wide open receiver, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, David Tyree, just the will, the desire was there and just catching it off the helmet. Just what an unbelievable story. Never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here. What do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here. But, right. I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that play.
He sees holding. Eli, what do you say to that? When he says
holding?
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see it. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. I'm just like, all right. Let them run in. I almost get sacked by all four players. They kind of just blocked them off. It's not really holding. If the guy's holding me, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want
to the
pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the grass, they can just grab them also and pull them off. It's kind of free range at that point.
I agree. You, Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right.
There's a giant. I was right there, Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it. Go to our YouTube stream. Lots of fun. You go down a wormhole there as well. Great chat right there with Dan Patrick, everybody.
Yeah,
lots
awesome.
Of fun, man. We could fill an entire 3-hour show about all of our sports.
Yeah, right? I bet.
We could do exactly that.
You guys should do a Sports Center pod. Where you just tell old stories. Not a bad idea.
That would be insane,
let me file that one away. Everybody, flag football is coming to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this. I know for a fact the National Football League is quite jacked about this piece of news.
I believe it.
Because the sport of American football is going to be on an international stage. And I'm sure, as you know, I have just spent a fortnight in the UK.
Is that how long a fortnight is?
It was two weeks, isn't it?
Fortnight is 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So 12 days. Residency.
You get a residency.
DJ Dickie Eyes.
Just spent it over there. This is a serious venture from the NFL. I'm about to go for another 12 days to Frankfurt, Germany. And so selling the sport internationally is a major piece of business for the NFL and flag football. Now, I already heard Tyreek Hill wants to play, right?
Mm-hmm. We tried to put the team together yesterday.
So that means training camp? Players are going to leave training camp to put flags on to come out to Los Angeles.
Not really, because it's mid-July to the end of July, so you'd miss the first couple of days of camp, maybe.
Yeah, right. And then maybe not go to play golf in Tahoe for some.
Yeah, true. Well, you'd have to practice, right? So
you'd have to have
months of lead up.
You're going to have to.
And eventually, there's going to be like other sports. You're going to have Olympic qualifiers. So these teams are going to have to probably play in the spring to qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. But the league is already saying right now that they're going to work with the PA and teams to see if players and former players might want to do it too.
That's what we've been discussing.
Mm-hmm. Does J.J. Watt want to get back out there and count Mississippis on behalf of the country? I'm serious.
Yeah, what are the rules going to be on rushing?
Right.
And I guess you can't just use Mississippi, right? Internationally.
So.
Yeah. One's in Zimbabwe.
I don't know.
Two's Zimbabwe.
The Hague? No, you got to go United Nations? I don't know.
Three Madagascar. Four Madagascar.
To do that? I don't know.
I'd survive. I fear foot.
But they're jacked up. I did a couple of reads during both London games about the UK national women's flag football team. They're terrific at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the league was just like, hey, find your league near you at, I think, NFLflag.com or something like that.
Yeah, they have a website.
I mean, they were about it. They are psyched.
There's 5-7 and
it's going to be very interesting to see what happens because we have professional flag football leagues. And those players are I've watched a few of these games. They're so insane.
I bet. And they're probably
need to send the pros.
Yeah. Well, I think
you'd want to send the pros.
I mean, you know what, Tyreek Hill? Like, I mean, if you put flags on Tyreek Hill Sunday,
he wouldn't get
touched. He might not get touched.
No.
He'd have 1,500 yards with just flags.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it almost seems unfair, the thought of it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe just send the Miami Dolphins. Put flags in the Dolphins and send them.
By the way, that would be awesome.
Mike McDaniel would be a great coach.
The team that loses the Super Bowl.
Or either or.
That's a hell of a qualifier.
Or the Pro Bowl team. That should be the new Pro Bowl.
They should just send the Cowboys every year. Let's just be honest.
Oh, I got this guy.
They send the varsity team.
I was
going
to say, so you
send the varsity team.
You make it to the championship and lose.
That's terrible. Josh Gad coming up next hour. It'll be a lot of fun. Speaking of Dolphins. So, yeah, I mean.
Good job.
Yeah, jerks.
You want to send the Cowboys? What?
Hey, so just blow it at the end.
Yeah, you're going to blow it.
What are you going to the Hall of Fame for, Earl?
Screw up
for
effing up
World Series?
Romo, hold this kick for me.
We win Super Bowls when we get there.
Seriously, wow. Why wouldn't you send like the Miami Dolphins? We're the fastest team in the NFL in 2027, right? Whoever that is, send them. Put flags on them and say, try and catch us, Czechoslovakia.
Yesterday, Rich, we tried to put a team together of athletes that weren't football players.
Yeah, non-NFL.
Non-NFL players that could go and win this.
So I was like, put Aaron Judge out there, like tight end.
I will just say this.
Noah Lyles.
I will say this as a heads up to everyone who thinks the NFL. Just send the NFL players and we're going to win. It'll be you know, like the dream team back in the day. I have seen a flag football game. I've called a flag football game in which Maria Menounos beat Jerry Rice for a touchdown. Okay? This has happened. All right, and Jerry's probably very upset that I'm bringing this up because he was livid.
Maria Menounos
beat Jerry Rice.
Oh, she is underrated.
In a flag football contest. All right? So it's an equalizer.
Her advanced stats are through the roof.
I mean, the next gen?
Yeah,
Maria Menounos. Jerry's a wide receiver, not a D-back, too. So
strange things can happen when you put flags on people. Just saying. Sorry, Jerry, I had to bring it up. By the way, you can catch Maria Menounos on the Roku channel.
Look at you.
Nice.
And Jerry Rice just canceled his appearance on the show.
Look at me. Look at me.
Rich, you got a fast 40?
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.